Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Deep Dive.
Glad to be back.
Today we're going to be diving into something pretty fascinating.
Oh yeah.
The future of healthcare IT.
Lots going on.
We've got some pretty interesting reports here from Y Combinator.
Uh-huh.
Rock Health.
Okay.
And SVB.
Interesting.
And they're all pointing to some pretty major changes coming up.
I think so.
We're talking AI next level wearables. Even tech that's trying to tackle that universal nightmare medical billing.
A perennial favorite.
So get ready, because this deep dive could change how you think about healthcare.
I think you're right.
It's amazing how much innovation is happening behind the scenes in healthcare.
It really is.
We often focus on the flashy, futuristic stuff.
Right.
But sometimes the biggest impact comes from things that just make the system work better.
Yeah. Streamlining things.
I am all for anything that makes my life easier, especially when it comes to healthcare.
Absolutely.
So let's start with AI.
Okay.
It seems like AI is everywhere these days, and healthcare is no exception.
No, it's not.
Rock Health says that a massive 36% of all healthcare IT funding went to AI startups.
Wow.
That's $3.3 billion.
Yeah.
Just through October of 2024.
That's a lot of money.
So what does that even mean for someone like me who just wants to go to the doctor without a mountain of paperwork?
Well, all that money pouring into AI means you can expect to see more AI-powered tools popping up at your doctor's office and in the healthcare system as a whole.
Okay.
Think smarter scheduling systems that actually work.
I like that.
Faster test results and maybe even fewer forms to fill out.
Okay. Less paperwork, I'm on board.
Right.
But I have to admit, when I think of AI in healthcare, I picture robot doctors diagnosing patients.
Uh-huh.
Is that even close to reality?
Not quite yet, at least not in the way you might think.
Okay.
The interesting thing here is that most of this AI funding isn't going towards replacing doctors.
Uh-huh.
It's actually being used to streamline those tedious and complex processes that make healthcare such a headache.
So less robot doctor and more invisible helper behind the scenes.
Yeah, you could say that.
What are some specific examples of companies doing this?
There are a lot of companies doing really interesting things, even attracting attention from some big names.
Okay.
One example is Hippocratic AI. They're working on something called healthcare-specific LLMs, or large language models, and they've even partnered with NVIDIA.
LLMs.
Yeah.
So like a medical version of ChatGPT.
You could think of it that way.
Okay.
Another area where we're seeing a lot of AI investment is in revenue cycle optimization.
Okay.
Companies like Fathom and Infinitus Systems are using AI to make sure hospitals and clinics get paid faster and more efficiently.
Uh-huh.
And these companies have backing from Alphabet.
Google's parent company.
That's right.
Okay, well, if that means keeping costs down for patients, I'm all for it.
Me too.
It seems like the AI landscape in healthcare is booming.
It is.
Where do you see things going from here?
There's definitely a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
But the landscape is still evolving. Rock Health predicts we'll see a period of consolidation where a few key players emerge as leaders.
Right.
AI enablement will likely become a standard feature in healthcare.
Uh-huh.
Rather than something special or unique.
Okay, so it just becomes part of the system.
Right. Think of it like having a smartphone.
Right.
Almost everyone has one now, and it's become a basic expectation.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So AI is quietly becoming part of the fabric of healthcare.
That's a good way to put it.
But enough about AI for now.
Okay.
Remember those GLP-1 medications everyone's talking about for weight loss?
Uh-huh.
It seems like they've sparked a whole new wave of digital health solutions.
You're right.
Rock Health reports that digital obesity care brought in $664 million in funding in 2024 alone.
It did.
That's right. And it's not just about weight loss anymore.
Yeah.
We're seeing a shift towards something called food as medicine.
Yeah.
Or FAM for short. Mm-hmm. This idea is gaining traction with both startups and even government initiatives, recognizing that nutrition plays a huge role in managing and preventing chronic diseases.
Right. So it's not just a niche thing anymore.
So FAM is basically the idea that what you eat can be as powerful as medication.
Yeah. Essentially.
What are some examples of how this is playing out in the real world?
Well, companies like FoodSmart, which raised a massive $200 million, are developing personalized nutrition programs almost like a virtual dietitian in your pocket.
Oh, wow.
And there are government initiatives working to make healthy food more accessible and affordable for everyone.
Okay, so it's a multi-pronged approach to improving health through nutrition.
Exactly.
This sounds like a potential game changer for anyone struggling with their health, not just weight management.
It could be.
Do you think FAM will really become mainstream, or is it just a passing trend?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And honestly, the answer depends on a few factors.
Like what?
Rock Health suggests that the future of FAM hinges on two things: policy support and proven outcomes.
Uh-huh.
If we see continued government backing and strong evidence that FAM can deliver real, tangible health improvements, then it has the potential to revolutionize how we approach healthcare.
Okay, so it needs that support.
It does.
Okay, let's move on to the next big thing, wearables.
Okay.
We're all familiar with fitness trackers.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like the future of wearables goes way beyond counting steps.
It does.
Absolutely. We're talking about next-gen wearables that focus on specific health areas.
Yeah.
Think fertility tracking, menopause management, even monitoring your cardiovascular health, all from a device you wear on your wrist.
Right.
That's incredible.
It is.
I can see how those could be game changers for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But are these futuristic wearables even on the market yet? Are they just a concept, or are they something we can actually buy?
Some are available now.
Okay.
And more are in development.
Okay.
But there are still some hurdles to overcome. One of the biggest challenges is getting these wearables accepted in traditional healthcare reimbursement models.
You mean, like, will insurance cover them?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then there's the issue of demonstrating their clinical validity.
So proving that the data they collect is accurate and reliable.
Exactly.
So it's not enough for these wearables to just be cool gadgets.
Right.
You have to prove they can play in the big leagues of healthcare.
Right. They have to meet the standards.
Okay, speaking of things that could make healthcare easier, let's talk about how technology is tackling that dreaded billing process.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has a horror story about medical bills.
Oh, I'm sure.
Is there any hope for a smoother experience on the horizon?
There is, actually.
Okay, good.
There's a whole wave of digital health companies on a mission to make medical billing less of a nightmare. And it's not just scrappy startups. We're seeing everyone from small companies to major insurance companies getting involved.
Okay, so what are some of the ways these companies are trying to fix the billing mess?
Well, they're using technology to eliminate inefficiencies, reduce errors, and hopefully make the whole process less painful for everyone involved.
Less painful.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
One company, Arintra, is using AI to automate medical coding.
Okay.
Believe it or not, errors in medical coding currently cost the U.S. healthcare system about $125 billion every year.
Wow. That's a lot of wasted money.
It is.
And I'm sure a lot of frustrated patients and providers.
I would say so.
So Arintra is using AI to basically prevent those errors.
Exactly.
Okay, what else?
Then there's Pledge Health, which is working to automate patient billing specifically for independent clinics.
Okay.
This could help those smaller practices get paid faster and more efficiently.
Makes sense.
And for patients struggling with behavioral health, there's Sohar Health.
Okay.
They've created a special software platform that makes sure insurance benefits are verified correctly.
That's a game changer.
It can be.
Especially in an area like behavioral health where navigating insurance can be especially tough.
Yeah, it's a real need.
So are you saying there's hope for a future where medical bills don't make us want to pull our hair out?
I think so. And it's not just the smaller companies.
Oh.
The big insurance players like United Healthcare, Cigna, and Elevance Health are also investing in AI solutions to improve things like claims processing.
So they're getting on board, too.
It seems like everyone is finally recognizing that a smoother, less frustrating billing experience is crucial for patient satisfaction and overall efficiency.
Well, that's a future I'm definitely looking forward to.
As am I.
But before we get too optimistic, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something called Tapestry acquisitions and healthcare mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I have no idea what that means.
It is a bit of a niche term,
okay,
but it highlights a really interesting trend.
Right.
It's essentially about digital health companies using mergers and acquisitions to build out their capabilities rather than trying to develop everything in-house.
So instead of just gobbling up their competitors, companies are strategically choosing startups that offer something they don't have, kind of like piecing together a puzzle to create a more complete picture.
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And who are some of these tapestry weavers we should know about?
Yeah. Who's doing this?
Well, Dario Health is a great example.
Okay.
They're a chronic condition management company.
Okay.
And they recently acquired Twill to bolster their mental health offerings and gain new patient engagement tools.
Okay.
This builds on their previous acquisitions to enhance their mental health and musculoskeletal programs.
So they're essentially creating a one-stop shop for managing chronic conditions with a strong focus on mental health.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're not alone.
Oh,
Chimera Provider Operating System has been on a bit of an acquisition spree.
Really?
Merging with Athelis for RCM features.
Yeah.
Acquiring Rx.Health for care coordination,
uh-huh.
and even snapping up Augmedics to jump into the AI scribe market. They've also made previous acquisitions to build out capabilities in clinician safety, clinical workflow, patient communication, and patient data management.
Wow. That's a lot of stitching together.
It is.
But I guess it makes sense. If a company can find a startup that's already doing something well, why reinvent the wheel?
That's the logic behind it.
Right.
Especially in a market where valuations have been recalibrating.
Okay.
Acquiring a startup with a proven product and existing customer base can be a much more efficient and cost-effective strategy than building everything from scratch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what does this tapestry trend mean for the future of healthcare IT?
Yeah, where do you see this going?
It's definitely a trend to watch.
Uh-huh.
Rock Health suggests that this move towards tapestry acquisitions reflects a broader shift in the digital health market.
Okay, what kind of shift?
A move away from single solution companies trying to do it all.
Okay.
And towards more scalable combined offerings that benefit both vendors and clients.
So a more collaborative and integrated approach to solving complex healthcare challenges.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, it sounds promising.
It is promising.
But let's not forget about those poor souls who are still grappling with the complexities of medical billing.
Yeah, we can't forget about them.
Any hope for them on the horizon?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of innovation happening in this space.
Uh-huh.
And some of it is surprisingly patient-friendly.
Oh, good.
For example, some companies are using AI to analyze medical records and automatically determine if a patient is eligible for a specific treatment.
Okay, that would be huge.
It would.
Prior authorizations are notoriously time-consuming and frustrating for everyone involved.
Absolutely.
It often feels like you need a medical degree just to understand the process.
I know what you mean.
And then there are companies developing AI-powered virtual assistants that can handle those tedious phone calls to insurance companies to verify benefits and handle billing inquiries.
Right, taking that burden off the patient.
So no more spending hours on hold navigating those endless phone trees.
Hopefully not.
Sign me up. Exactly. And it's not just startups driving this change.
No.
Major insurance companies are also investing heavily in AI solutions to streamline claims processing and other back-end operations.
Right. They're seeing the value in it.
It seems like everyone is finally recognizing that a smoother, less frustrating billing experience is crucial for patient satisfaction and overall efficiency.
Yeah, it's good for everyone.
Speaking of major players, we can't ignore the giants like Google, Microsoft, NVIDIA, who are all making significant moves in the healthcare AI space.
Right.
What's their game plan and how does it impact the smaller players in the field?
It's interesting to see how these tech behemoths are approaching healthcare.
Yeah.
NVIDIA, for example, is taking a two-pronged approach.
Okay.
They're not just providing the powerful GPUs that are essential for AI computations.
Right.
They're also developing cloud-based platforms like Clara and BioNeMo.
Okay.
These platforms offer researchers the tools they need to build and train AI models specifically for healthcare applications.
So they're providing both the hardware and software infrastructure to power the next generation of healthcare AI.
Exactly. And then you have Microsoft and Google,
uh-huh.
who are primarily focused on cloud infrastructure.
Okay.
They're offering Azure and Google Cloud Healthcare, respectively,
right.
to provide healthcare professionals with the computing power and tools they need to leverage AI.
Okay.
But they're also making strategic investments in startups that are developing AI-powered solutions for specific healthcare challenges.
It sounds like there's a healthy mix of competition and collaboration happening in this space.
I think so.
That's good news.
It is.
But what about Alphabet's approach?
Yeah.
They seem to be particularly interested in AI for revenue cycle management and care delivery, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Their investments in companies like Fathom, Infinitus Systems, Sensorum Health, and Viz.ai demonstrate a clear focus on using AI to improve efficiency and outcomes in these areas. They're recognizing the potential of AI to not only streamline administrative processes, but also to transform how care is delivered and managed.
It's encouraging to see these tech giants investing in solutions that have the potential to deliver tangible benefits for patients, providers, and the healthcare system as a whole.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign.
But are there any downsides to this increased consolidation in the healthcare AI market?
Well, one concern is that if a handful of companies control the majority of the healthcare AI market, It could stifle innovation and limit the diversity of solutions available.
Okay.
We could end up with a healthcare system that's heavily influenced by the priorities and biases of these tech giants,
yeah,
which might not always align with the needs of patients and providers.
That's a valid concern.
It is.
We've seen this play out in other industries,
right,
where a lack of competition can lead to higher prices, slower innovation, and less choice for consumers.
Exactly.
We don't want that to happen in healthcare.
Agreed.
And it's not just about the potential for monopolies.
Right.
There are also concerns about data privacy and security, especially when it comes to sensitive health information.
Absolutely.
If these large companies are collecting and analyzing vast amounts of patient data, we need to make sure that data is being handled responsibly and ethically.
I think everyone agrees with that.
So while there's a lot of excitement about the potential of AI to revolutionize healthcare,
yeah,
it's important to proceed with caution,
mm-hmm,
and ensure that these powerful technologies are being developed and deployed in a way that benefits everyone, not just a select few.
I think that's a really important point.
Transparency, accountability, and robust regulatory frameworks will be crucial.
Absolutely.
Ensure that the benefits of AI are shared equitably and that potential risks are mitigated.
Agreed.
Well said.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about a different kind of risk.
Okay.
The financial risks faced by digital health companies in a market that's still experiencing some growing pains.
Right.
We've seen a lot of volatility in the past few years, with soaring valuations followed by significant correction.
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster.
What's the current state of the market?
Well.
And what does it mean for investors and entrepreneurs?
It's definitely been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
The pandemic fueled a surge in investment in digital health.
Uh-huh.
But as the initial hype subsided,
yeah,
valuations have become more realistic.
All right.
Investors are now demanding a clearer path to profitability.
So they want to see results.
Right.
Okay.
We're seeing fewer mega deals,
uh-huh,
and a greater focus on early stage companies with strong unit economics,
okay,
and the potential to scale sustainably.
So it's a more cautious and discerning investment climate.
Absolutely.
So it's a tougher environment for entrepreneurs?
It can be.
But it's also a sign that the market is maturing and becoming more sustainable in the long run.
I think so.
And it's not just about financial sustainability.
Right.
Investors are also increasingly interested in companies that are addressing health equity.
Yeah.
And making healthcare more accessible and affordable for everyone.
So it's not just about making money.
Wow.
It's about making a positive impact on the world.
Exactly. And this focus on social impact is attracting a new generation of investors who are looking to align their financial goals with their values.
Okay, so it's a win-win.
I think so.
It's an exciting time to be in healthcare with so much innovation happening at the intersection of technology and social good.
I agree.
Okay, let's dive into a specific example of this trend towards impact investing.
Okay.
The growing interest in women's health.
Yes.
For too long, this area has been overlooked and underfunded.
It has.
But we're finally seeing a shift.
We are.
Both investors and entrepreneurs are recognizing the enormous potential of this market.
Absolutely.
What's driving this change? And what are some of the key areas of innovation in women's health?
Well, it's about time.
I agree.
Women make up more than half the population.
Right.
But their healthcare needs have historically been neglected,
uh-huh,
both in terms of research and funding. But that's changing thanks in part to a growing awareness of the unique health challenges faced by women throughout their lives, from puberty to menopause and beyond.
And it's not just about reproductive health anymore.
No, it's not.
We're seeing innovation across a wide range of areas, from mental health to chronic disease management, all tailored to the specific needs of women.
You're right. There's a growing recognition that women experience many health conditions differently than men,
uh-huh,
and they often require different approaches to diagnosis, treatment, and prevention.
Okay.
This has led to a surge in innovation in areas like fertility and family planning.
Okay.
We're seeing new technologies that empower women to take control of their reproductive health.
Like what?
Think fertility tracking apps,
mm-hmm,
at-home testing kits,
okay,
and personalized fertility treatments.
Some more options.
Yeah.
What else?
Menopause management.
Okay.
Digital health companies are developing solutions to help women navigate the often challenging transition through menopause. From hormone therapy tracking apps to personalized symptom management programs,
uh-huh,
to online communities for support and education.
So lots of different approaches.
Exactly.
What about mental health?
Well, with women being disproportionately affected by conditions like anxiety and depression,
yeah,
there's a growing focus on developing mental health solutions specifically tailored to women's needs.
Like what?
From therapy apps designed for women to online support groups to personalized medication management tools.
Okay, so more targeted solutions.
Exactly.
And what about chronic disease management?
We're seeing digital health solutions that address the unique challenges faced by women with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and autoimmune disorders.
Okay.
These could include personalized symptom tracking apps, online communities for peer support, and telehealth platforms that connect women with specialized healthcare providers.
So more resources and support for women with chronic conditions.
Exactly.
This is truly exciting.
It's
wonderful to see so much innovation focused on improving the health and well-being of women.
I'd agree.
But what about the investors?
Yeah.
Are they putting their money where their mouths are?
They are.
Okay, good.
We're seeing a significant increase in investment in women's health companies, driven by both a recognition of the market opportunity and a desire to make a positive social impact.
That's great.
And it's not just venture capitalists.
Wrong.
Major corporations and philanthropic organizations are also getting involved, providing much needed funding and resources to support innovation in this space.
So it's a win-win situation.
It is.
Investors get to tap into a growing market, and women get access to better healthcare solutions.
Exactly.
And this focus on women's health is part of a broader trend.
Yeah.
Towards more inclusive and equitable healthcare innovation.
I think so.
We're seeing a growing recognition that healthcare solutions need to be designed to meet the needs of all individuals, regardless of their gender, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, or sexual orientation.
It's about time.
I agree.
We're moving towards a more just and equitable healthcare system.
That's a powerful message.
It is.
And it's encouraging to see the healthcare industry moving in this direction.
Absolutely.
But let's not forget that innovation isn't just about developing new technologies.
Right.
It's also about finding creative ways to deliver care.
Yeah.
And improve outcomes using existing resources.
Uh-huh.
And this is where the concept of alternative care comes into play.
Okay.
What exactly does this term encompass?
Sure.
And how is it changing the healthcare landscape?
Alternative care is a broad term that encompasses a wide range of healthcare services that are delivered outside of traditional hospital or private practice settings.
Okay, so like what?
This can include everything from telehealth and virtual care to home health care and community-based clinics to retail clinics and concierge medicine.
So it's about making healthcare more convenient, accessible, and affordable by offering care in non-traditional settings.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see how that would appeal to a lot of people, especially those who might have difficulty accessing traditional healthcare.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the key drivers behind the rise of alternative care?
Well, several factors are contributing to this trend.
Like what?
The rising cost of healthcare.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Traditional healthcare services can be prohibitively expensive,
especially
for those without adequate insurance coverage.
Right.
Alternative care models often offer more affordable options, such as telehealth consultations or membership-based primary care services.
More cost-effective solutions.
Right. Okay.
What else? The increasing demand for convenience and flexibility.
Yeah. In today's busy world, people are looking for healthcare solutions that fit into their lives rather than the other way around.
Exactly.
Okay.
Alternative care models offer greater convenience and flexibility with options for evening and weekend appointments, virtual consultations, and home-based services.
So more flexibility and control for the patient.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the growing adoption of technology.
Telehealth remote patient monitoring and other digital health technologies are making it easier to deliver care outside of traditional healthcare settings.
Right. So technology is enabling these alternative care models.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
This is opening up new possibilities for alternative care models such as virtual primary care practices or home-based chronic disease management programs.
So we're going to see more and more of these types of models popping up.
I think so.
What about this shift towards value-based care?
That's another important driver. Yeah. As the healthcare system moves away from fee-for-service models and towards value-based care, there's a growing emphasis on preventative care.
Right.
Population health management and care coordination.
Right.
Alternative care models are well positioned to deliver these services.
Okay.
As they can often provide more holistic and personalized care.
So it's a better fit for this new model of care.
I think so.
So it sounds like alternative care is not just a fad.
It's not.
It's a fundamental shift in how healthcare is being delivered and accessed.
Right. It's about changing the way we think about healthcare.
And this trend is only going to accelerate in the coming years.
Yeah.
Driven by ongoing technological advancements.
Right.
Changing consumer preferences. Right. And the evolving needs of the healthcare system.
Agreed.
And this is where we see the convergence of several trends we've discussed today. Mm-hmm. Right? AI wearables and digital health solutions are all playing a role in enabling and enhancing these alternative care models.
Absolutely. AI can be used to personalize care plans,
okay,
analyze patient data,
uh-huh,
and automate administrative tasks.
Right.
Wearables can monitor vital signs, track medication adherence, and provide valuable insights into patients' health status.
Okay.
And digital health platforms can facilitate virtual consultations,
right,
connect patients with healthcare providers,
and
deliver personalized educational resources.
So it's not just about disrupting traditional healthcare.
Oh, it's not.
It's about creating a more integrated and patient-centered system that leverages technology and innovative care delivery models to improve outcomes and enhance the overall healthcare experience.
That's the goal.
And it's a goal that's shared by a growing number of stakeholders.
It is.
From entrepreneurs and investors, uh-huh, to healthcare providers and policymakers.
Absolutely.
We're seeing a realignment of priorities in the healthcare industry with a growing emphasis on preventative care.
Yeah.
Value-based care and patient empowerment.
I think that's a positive development.
I agree. It's an exciting time to be following the evolution of healthcare, and it's clear that technology is playing a pivotal role in shaping the future.
I think so.
But let's not forget that healthcare is ultimately about people,
right,
the patients, mm-hmm, the providers, mm-hmm, and the communities they serve.
Of course.
And as we embrace these technological advancements, it's crucial to ensure that we're not losing sight of the human element of care.
I completely agree. Technology should be a tool to enhance and support human connection and empathy, not replace it.
Right. We don't want to become robots.
No, we don't.
The most successful healthcare innovations will be those that seamlessly integrate technology with human compassion and expertise.
Yeah.
Creating a system that's both high tech and high touch.
Well said.
Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive into the future of healthcare IT.
Okay.
Let's zoom in on a specific area that's ripe for disruption.
Okay.
Mental health.
Yeah.
It's a topic that's finally getting the attention it deserves.
It is.
With a growing recognition of the prevalence and impact of mental health conditions.
It's a huge issue.
How is technology being used to address this critical challenge? And what are some of the key trends to watch?
It's encouraging to see mental health finally moving out of the shadows and into the spotlight.
Yeah.
For too long, it's been a stigmatized and underserved area of healthcare.
Absolutely.
But that's changing thanks in part to the rise of digital health solutions that are making mental health care more accessible, affordable, and convenient.
So what are some of the ways that technology is being used to improve mental health care?
Well, we're seeing a proliferation of mental health apps and platforms that offer a wide range of services.
Oh, like what?
Including therapy and counseling.
Okay.
Teletherapy platforms allow individuals to connect with licensed therapists and counselors from the comfort of their own homes,
right,
via video chat, phone call, or text messaging.
So it's more accessible.
Exactly.
Hey.
This is particularly beneficial for individuals who face barriers to accessing traditional in-person therapy, such as those in rural areas.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Before the break, we were talking about data interoperability, which is basically getting different healthcare systems to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, why is this so important for the future of healthcare?
Well, it's a great question. And honestly, data interoperability underpins a lot of the exciting trends we've been discussing. Mm. Think about personalized medicine. To tailor treatments to your specific needs, doctors need access to a complete picture of your health history, not just snippets from different providers.
Mm.
Data interoperability makes that possible.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like trying to put together a puzzle without all the pieces. You can get a general idea, but you won't have the full picture.
Exactly. And it's not just about having all the pieces. It's about being able to understand them. Data interoperability ensures that different systems are using the same language, so to speak, when they're talking about your health data. This prevents misinterpretations and ensures that everyone involved in your care is on the same page.
So it's about accuracy and efficiency. That sounds like it could have a huge impact on patient safety, too.
Absolutely. Imagine a world where your allergist, primary care physician, and the ER all have instant access to your complete medical history, including allergies, medications, and past diagnoses. This could prevent potentially life-threatening mistakes and ensure you're getting the most appropriate care no matter where you are.
That sounds like a healthcare system I can get behind. But you mentioned earlier that there are challenges to achieving true data interoperability. What are some of the roadblocks we still need to overcome?
Well, as with most things in healthcare, it's a mix of technical, financial, and cultural challenges. On the technical side, different healthcare systems often use different data formats and coding systems. It's like trying to get people speaking different languages to understand each other. We need to develop standardized ways for these systems to communicate seamlessly.
That sounds like a massive undertaking. What about the financial side of things? Is there even an incentive for different healthcare organizations to share data with each other?
Historically, that's been a major obstacle. There hasn't been much financial reward for sharing data. But thankfully, that's starting to change with the shift towards value-based care. In this model, providers are rewarded for keeping patients healthy and preventing unnecessary hospitalizations rather than just treating them when they're sick.
So sharing data becomes essential for coordinating care and improving patient outcomes, which ultimately translates into financial benefits for the providers.
Exactly. And there's another crucial aspect to consider: privacy and security. When we're talking about sharing sensitive health information, we need to make sure it's being done responsibly and ethically. We need strong security measures in place to prevent data breaches and clear policies and regulations to govern how this data can be used.
That's a really important point. We don't want to sacrifice patient privacy in the name of efficiency.
Yeah.
So is there a way to achieve data interoperability without compromising privacy?
There are definitely ways to strike that balance. We can use technologies like de-identification and encryption to protect patient data while still allowing it to be used for research and analysis. And we need to involve patients in the conversation, giving them more control over their health information and ensuring they're comfortable with how it's being used.
It sounds like there's still a lot of work to be done, but it's encouraging to know that people are working on these challenges and that there's a real push for data interoperability in healthcare.
Absolutely. It's a complex issue, but it's essential if we want to realize the full potential of technology to transform healthcare. Data interoperability is the foundation for a more connected, efficient, and patient-centered system.
Well said. Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about another fascinating trend in healthcare, the rise of artificial intelligence. We touched on this earlier, but I want to dive a little deeper. We're hearing a lot about AI's potential to revolutionize healthcare, but what does that actually look like in practice? What are some of the specific ways AI is being used in healthcare today?
AI is already making its mark in a wide range of healthcare applications. One area where it's showing a lot of promise is in diagnostics. AI algorithms can be trained to analyze medical images like x-rays, CT scans, and MRIs, helping radiologists detect subtle abnormalities that might be missed by the human eye. This can lead to earlier and more accurate diagnoses, which can be crucial for effective treatment.
So AI is like a second set of eyes for radiologists, helping them make more informed decisions. That's amazing. Are there any other areas where AI is proving to be particularly useful in healthcare?
Definitely. Another exciting area is drug discovery and development. Traditionally, developing new drugs has been a long and costly process, often taking years and billions of dollars to bring a single drug to market. AI is changing that by accelerating the process, helping researchers identify promising drug candidates, predict their effectiveness, and even design personalized therapies tailored to an individual's genetic makeup.
That's incredible. So AI could potentially lead to faster drug development and more targeted treatments. That could be a game changer for patients with rare diseases or conditions that haven't responded to traditional therapies.
Exactly. And it's not just about developing new drugs. AI is also being used to optimize the use of existing medications. By analyzing patient data, AI algorithms can help determine the most effective dosage and treatment regimen for each individual, minimizing side effects and maximizing the chances of success.
So AI is moving us towards more personalized and data-driven approach to healthcare. This all sounds very promising, but I have to ask, are there any potential downsides to relying so heavily on AI in healthcare?
Of course, no technology is without its limitations and potential risks. One of the biggest concerns with AI in healthcare is the potential for bias. AI algorithms are trained on large data sets, and if those data sets are not representative of the diverse population, the algorithms can perpetuate existing biases and inequalities in healthcare.
That's a valid concern. We need to be mindful of the data we're using to train these algorithms and ensure that they're not reinforcing harmful biases.
Absolutely. And we also need to be careful about over-reliance on AI. We need to remember that AI is a tool, not a replacement for human judgment and expertise. We need to find the right balance between leveraging the power of AI and preserving the essential human element of healthcare.
That's a great point. We don't want to lose sight of the importance of human connection and empathy in healthcare. So it sounds like the key is to use AI thoughtfully and ethically, recognizing both its potential benefits and its limitations.
Precisely. We need to approach AI in healthcare with a critical eye, ensuring that it's being used to enhance patient care, not replace it.
Well said. Okay, let's move on to another area where technology is having a profound impact on healthcare, wearable devices. We've talked about the potential of next-gen wearables to monitor various aspects of our health, but I'm curious, how are these devices actually being used in healthcare settings today? Are they just for personal use, or are they making their way into clinical practice?
Wearable devices are increasingly making their way into clinical practice, offering valuable insights into patient health and transforming how care is delivered. One area where they're proving particularly useful is in remote patient monitoring. For patients with chronic conditions like heart disease or diabetes, wearable devices can track vital signs, medication adherence, and other important data points, sending this information directly to healthcare providers.
So doctors can essentially keep tabs on their patients' health even when they're not in the office. That sounds like it could be a game changer for managing chronic conditions and preventing complications.
Exactly. Remote patient monitoring allows for more proactive and personalized care. Doctors can adjust treatment plans based on real-time data, catch potential problems early on, and even intervene remotely if necessary. This not only improves patient outcomes, but can also reduce the need for costly office visits and hospitalizations.
It's amazing to think about how technology is changing the way we think about healthcare. It's no longer just about going to the doctor when you're sick. It's about continuous monitoring and proactive management of our health. Are there any other examples of how wearable devices are being used in clinical practice?
Another exciting area is clinical trials. Wearable devices can provide researchers with a wealth of real-world data on how patients are responding to new treatments, helping them assess the effectiveness and safety of new drugs and therapies. This can significantly accelerate the drug development process and lead to more effective treatments for a wider range of conditions.
That's incredible. So wearable devices are not only changing how we manage our health, but also contributing to the development of new and better treatments. It seems like the possibilities are endless. But as with any new technology, there are bound to be challenges. What are some of the hurdles we need to overcome to fully integrate wearable devices into healthcare?
One of the biggest challenges is data overload. Wearable devices can generate a massive amount of data, and it can be overwhelming for healthcare providers to sift through all of it and extract meaningful insights. We need to develop better tools and algorithms to help manage and analyze this data effectively.
That makes sense. It's not just about collecting data. It's about making that data actionable and useful for both patients and providers.
Exactly. And another challenge is ensuring the accuracy and reliability of the data collected by wearable devices. Not all devices are created equal, and some might be more accurate than others. We need to establish standards and protocols to ensure that the data used for clinical decision-making is reliable and trustworthy.
So it's about quality control and validation. That makes sense. What about the issue of patient privacy? We're collecting all this sensitive health data from wearable devices. How do we ensure that data is being protected and used responsibly?
That's a critical question, and it's one that we need to address carefully. We need to develop robust security measures to protect patient data from breaches and misuse. And we need to have open and transparent conversations with patients about how their data is being used and give them more control over their health information.
It sounds like we need a multifaceted approach to address these challenges. Technological advancements to manage and analyze the data, clear standards and protocols to ensure data accuracy and reliability, and robust privacy and security measures to protect patient information.
Exactly. It's a complex issue, but it's one that we need to address thoughtfully if we want to harness the full potential of wearable devices to transform healthcare.
Well said. Now let's switch gears and talk about a topic that often gets overlooked in these conversations about the future of healthcare, the role of government and policy. We've talked about technological advancements and market forces, but what about the role of government in shaping the healthcare landscape?
Government plays a crucial role in healthcare, particularly in areas like regulation, funding, and access. When it comes to technology and innovation, government can act as both a facilitator and a regulator. It can provide funding for research and development, create incentives for innovation, and establish guidelines and regulations to ensure that new technologies are safe and effective.
So the government can help steer the ship in the right direction, encouraging innovation while also protecting patients and ensuring that new technologies are being used responsibly.
Exactly. And government also plays a vital role in ensuring access to healthcare. It can implement policies and programs to expand insurance coverage, subsidize healthcare costs, and support the development of affordable and accessible healthcare services, especially for underserved populations.
So it's not just about developing new technologies. It's also about making sure those technologies are available to everyone who needs them.
Mm.
That's really important. What are some specific examples of how government is shaping the healthcare landscape in relation to technology and innovation?
One example is the Precision Medicine Initiative launched by the U.S. government in 2015. This initiative aims to accelerate the development and adoption of personalized medicine using genetic and other data to tailor treatments to individual patients. The government has invested billions of dollars in this initiative, supporting research data collection and the development of new technologies.
That's a great example of the government taking a proactive role in promoting innovation. Are there other examples?
Another example is the 21st Century Cures Act, passed by Congress in 2016. This legislation, among other things, included provisions to promote data interoperability in healthcare, streamline the drug approval process, and support the development of digital health technologies. It's a great example of how government policy can create a more favorable environment for innovation and accelerate the adoption of new technologies.
It's encouraging to see the government taking these steps to promote innovation and improve healthcare. But government involvement in healthcare is often a contentious issue. What are some of the challenges and debates surrounding government's role in shaping the future of healthcare?
One of the biggest debates is the balance between regulation and innovation. Some argue that too much regulation can stifle innovation and slow down the adoption of new technologies. Others argue that regulation is essential to protect patients, ensure the safety and effectiveness of new treatments, and prevent the misuse of technology.
It sounds like it's a delicate balancing act.
Yeah.
We need to find ways to promote innovation while also safeguarding patient interests and ensuring the ethical and responsible use of technology.
Exactly. And another debate is the role of government in funding healthcare. Some argue that government should play a larger role in funding healthcare research development and delivery, while others believe that the private sector is better suited to drive innovation and efficiency.
These are complex issues, and there are no easy answers. But it's clear that government plays a critical role in shaping the healthcare landscape.
Absolutely. And as we move towards a more technology-driven and data-driven healthcare system, it will be more important than ever for government to be an active and informed participant in the conversation, working with all stakeholders to ensure that new technologies are being developed and deployed in a way that benefits all Americans.
Well said.
Yeah.
Okay, let's shift gears one last time and talk about a topic that's both exciting and a bit unsettling. The potential for artificial intelligence to replace human jobs in healthcare. We've talked about AI's potential to streamline processes, improve diagnostics, and even develop new drugs. But what does this mean for the people who currently work in these roles?
It's a question that's generating a lot of discussion and even anxiety in the healthcare industry. There's no doubt that AI will automate some tasks that are currently performed by humans. This could lead to job displacement in certain areas, but it's important to remember that AI is not simply a replacement for human workers. It's also a tool that can augment human capabilities, making us more efficient, more effective, and ultimately better at our jobs.
So it's not necessarily about AI versus humans, but rather about how we can use AI to make healthcare better for everyone, including the people who work in it.
Exactly. Instead of fearing AI, we should be thinking about how we can leverage it to create new opportunities, improve working conditions, and ultimately deliver better care to patients.
That's a much more optimistic perspective.
Yeah.
So how do we ensure that AI is used to augment human capabilities rather than simply replace human workers?
It's a challenge that will require collaborative effort from all stakeholders. We need to invest in education and training programs to help healthcare workers adapt to this new technological landscape. We need to develop new roles and career paths that leverage the unique skills and capabilities of both humans and AI. And we need to foster a culture of collaboration and innovation where humans and AI work together to achieve common goals.
It sounds like a lot of work lies ahead, but it's also an exciting time to be in healthcare. We're on the cusp of a major transformation, and AI has the potential to play a transformative role in shaping the future of healthcare for the better.
Absolutely. And it's not just about AI. We're seeing a convergence of technological advancements, changing consumer preferences, and evolving policy landscapes that are creating unprecedented opportunities for innovation and improvement in healthcare. It's an exciting time to be following these trends and seeing how they're shaping the future of healthcare for all of us.
Well said. And with that thought-provoking statement, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the future of healthcare IT with some final thoughts and predictions for what the future holds. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Before the break, we were discussing the potential impact of AI on healthcare jobs. It's definitely something to think about as these technologies become more prevalent. But let's shift gears a bit and look at the bigger picture. We've covered a lot of ground today. What are your overall thoughts on the future of healthcare IT? Where do you see things heading in the next few years?
You know, if I had to sum it up in a few words, I'd say the future of healthcare is all about personalization, proactivity, and data. We're moving away from a reactive, one-size-fits-all approach to healthcare towards a more personalized and preventative model driven by data and powered by technology.
That sounds like a pretty significant shift. What are some of the key trends that are driving this transformation?
Well, we've touched on many of them already. The rise of artificial intelligence is a major driving force enabling everything from personalized treatment recommendations to early disease detection. Wearable devices are playing an increasingly important role, providing real-time data on patient health and empowering individuals to take a more proactive role in managing their well-being. And we're seeing a shift towards alternative care models offering more convenient, accessible, and affordable healthcare options.
So it's a convergence of technological advancements, changing consumer expectations, and evolving care delivery models. It's an exciting time to be following these developments, but it can also be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who's trying to make sense of all these changes and navigate this rapidly evolving healthcare landscape?
It's definitely a lot to take in, but my advice would be to stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged. Don't be afraid to ask questions, explore new technologies, and advocate for your own health and well-being. The future of healthcare is being shaped right now, and we all have a role to play in ensuring that it's a future that benefits everyone.
Well said. Okay, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier, the idea that AI could potentially replace some traditional doctor visits. Do you really think that's a possibility, or is that still in the realm of science fiction?
Well, it's not as far-fetched as it might sound. Think about it. We already have wearable devices that can monitor our heart rate, sleep patterns, and even blood sugar levels. We have AI-powered apps that can assess our symptoms and provide personalized health recommendations. And we have telehealth platforms that allow us to consult with doctors remotely.
So you're saying that all the pieces are already in place for AI to start playing a more prominent role in our healthcare?
Exactly. It's not a question of if, but when. Of course, there are still challenges to overcome. We need to ensure the accuracy and reliability of these AI-powered tools. We need to address concerns about data privacy and security, and we need to make sure that these technologies are accessible and affordable for everyone.
That makes sense. It's not just about developing the technology, it's about integrating it thoughtfully and responsibly into our healthcare system.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that AI is not meant to replace human doctors altogether. It's a tool that can augment their capabilities, allowing them to focus on the more complex and nuanced aspects of patient care. The future of healthcare will likely involve a collaborative partnership between humans and AI, each leveraging their unique strengths to deliver the best possible care.
That's a reassuring thought.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember from this deep dive into the future of healthcare IT?
I'd say the key takeaway is that the future of healthcare is already here, and it's happening faster than most people realize. From AI-powered diagnostics to next-gen wearables to personalized medicine technology is transforming healthcare in profound ways. It's an exciting time to be alive, and I'm incredibly optimistic about the future of healthcare. But it's important to stay informed, stay engaged, and be an active participant in shaping this future.
That's a great message to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the future of healthcare IT. We hope you found it insightful and engaging. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay healthy.